You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Mike Arnold. The latest Gallup poll shows that there are a number of Americans who consider themselves to be political independent at record high levels.
This news makes some analysts say there will be an element of unpredictability in this year's congressional midterm elections.
But our guest political scientist says not so fast. These people who call themselves political independents are actually regular partisan voters. They just like the idea of being independent.
We want to hear from you on this. Do you think the number of political independents in the United States is on the rise? Do you think there's such a thing as a true political independent? Do some people see it as a badge of honor, or is it just window dressing? Why or why not? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
Alan Abramowitz is with us to explain why he thinks most independents are really partisans in disguise, stealth partisans. He's a professor of political science at Emory University. Alan, welcome to Central Time.
Well, I'm glad to be with you.
Now, why do you doubt the rise of independent voters in the United States?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. One is that when you look a little bit more closely at these independents, the people who identify themselves as independents, you find that the large majority of them will tell you that they normally lean toward one party or the other. And it turns out that these independent leaners typically vote very similarly to self-declared partisans. In other words, independent Democrats behave like Democrats, independent Republicans behave like Republicans.
Now, why do you think people are saying that they're independent? Are they ashamed of being a Democrat or a Republican or what?
There is, I think, an element of that. There's something that social scientists have called the social desirability effect. And there's been some research on this that indicates that generally people nowadays are somewhat reluctant to acknowledge that they are a partisan, that being a partisan carries a sort of a negative connotation to a lot of folks.
You think that's because people are trying to be polite, or is it because of the rise of polarized political discussion in the U.S.?
Yeah, I think that it's a response to the perception that that there's all this partisan bickering going on. When we look at Congress, or when we look at many of our state capitals, you'd probably be familiar with this there in Wisconsin, that we see all this back and forth, the fighting between the parties, and that may not be very attractive. So I think a lot of folks are reluctant to call themselves partisans, and there's something appealing about the label independent. You know, everyone wants to think of himself or herself as being an independent thinker. That you vote for the best person or based on issues rather than simply voting blindly for your party. But it turns out that when most people think about the issues or the candidates, they end up preferring candidates that come from the same party pretty much all the time.
Why do you think it's important to bring this up to people?
Well, I think it's important for understanding what's happening in American politics today because, you know, if you look at the voting patterns in recent elections, what you find is there's just a remarkable stability and consistency that going from, say, 2008 to 2012, you know, the same states are voting Democratic and Republican. The same counties are voting Democratic and Republican. We're returning the same party to office pretty consistently. Of course, there's some swing between elections, and midterm elections are different from presidential elections, but nevertheless, you know, you can't understand this remarkable stability, as well as the fact that, you know, so many states, as well as congressional districts today, are, you know, inclined very strongly to support one party or the other. We have many deep red states, many deep blue states, and I think you can't possibly understand that unless you understand something about this strong partisanship that we have developed within the American electorate.
Well, why do you think that more people are partisan than they used to be? Or are they?
They are. I think not the way they label themselves, but in their behavior. And I think the reason for it is that the parties are much more divided now than they used to be, that the differences between them are much greater. And therefore, people are more likely to align themselves with one party or the other, at least in behavior, if not in label. And so, you know, when you look at the parties in one election compared with another election, you're, you know, basically you're seeing a very similar choice, so you're going to respond the same way. And no matter where you are in the country today, the choices the parties are presenting to the voters are very similar. The Republican Party is a quite conservative party. The Democratic Party is a pretty liberal party. There's some variation from state to state, but almost everywhere you go, there's a pretty big divide between the parties. And in your state of Wisconsin, actually, you have one of the biggest divides between the parties that we have anywhere.
Yeah, in just a minute, we're going to have some listeners join in on the conversation. If you're listening and want to join in on this conversation, you can do that by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email at talk@wpr.org. And now, I wonder if there is, I mean, you mentioned Wisconsin is one of those states where there may be more people who say they're independent just because they'd prefer not to say they're a Republican or a Democrat. Are there parts of the country that are more full of independents who really aren't independents than others? I mean, have you seen any of that looking over the country?
There definitely are states where they have party registration. Not every state has party registration. But there are states where they do have party registration where you do get more people registering as independents rather than with a party. And that usually has something to do with the rules regarding voting in primary elections. So in a state like New Hampshire, which, of course, we're all familiar with because of its presidential primary, a lot of folks register as independents or nonpartisan because the rules in New Hampshire allow you to choose either party's primary if you're a nonpartisan or an independent. And if you're a Democrat or Republican, by registration, you can only vote in your own party's primary. So I think a lot of folks go, well, why, you know, limit yourself? You can just register as nonpartisan or independent and then choose which party's primary you want to vote in, depending on which side has a more interesting contest going on.
Well, we're talking to Alan Abramowitz from Emory University. He says that that he believes that most independents are partisans in disguise. You can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. And let's go to the phones. Kelly from Salem, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you?
Great. So are you an independent?
I would consider myself an independent, and I think it's because neither of the major parties really fit my political beliefs. I'm fiscally conservative and morally liberal, which would probably put me more in the camp of libertarian, but I really care about the environment. There is no true group that fits me, and honestly, I think there's a lot of other people that are out there that fit in that camp, but there's no politician that represents that.
Alan, you want to weigh in on that one? Is that
well,
part,
I mean,
part of the reason?
Sure. I mean, there certainly are some folks who would come down on the liberal side on social issues and the conservative side on economic issues or vice versa. Actually, when you look at the voters today, though, you find that there aren't as many voters who have those sort of conflicting views as there used to be. And most voters, even when they do come down on opposite sides, let's say on social versus economic issues, tend to weight one type of issue more than the other and still end up voting pretty consistently for one party or the other. What you find also is that generally the more politically involved people are, the more they're interested in politics, care about politics, the more they know about politics, and the more they participate, the more partisan they tend to be and the more consistent they tend to be, and that your pure independence, you know, the folks who are not only independent, say they're independent and really don't display any preference for a party one way or the other, they by and large tend to be people who don't pay attention, are not very interested, not very knowledgeable, and often don't vote at all.
Kelly, are you still there? Do you want to respond to that? Do you feel?
Yes, I am. Extremely active in politics and do a lot of research. Ironically, the last three primaries, the last one I voted Libertarian, the one before that Republican. the one before that Democrat. Wow. So I don't necessarily think that's the case.
Huh. Well, we'll have more to talk about. Ellen, I want to...
Ellen may be the exception that proves the rule.
Well, there you go. Well, we have a lot of people interested in talking about that. We'll talk more about true political independence. Are you like Kelly? Do you vote all over the place? You have a lot of different views? Well, you can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. We'll continue our discussion about political independence with Ellen Abramowitz in just a minute. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Mike Arnold.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're picking up our conversation with Ellen Abramowitz right now about independent voters in the United States. Do they truly exist, or are they just really partisan voters in disguise like our guest thinks?
We're also taking your calls. What do you think about what our guest has to say? Do you think the number of political independents in the United States is on the rise, or do you think that people are stealth independents? They're really partisan. Why or why not? Does the label independent mean anything to you? Call us at 1-800-642-1234. Or send us an email at talk@WPR.org. And we're going to go straight to the phones. Sean from Appleton, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. So what's your take on this?
Well, I think by and large, it's independent to me just means a nice way to say I'm either going to vote Democrat or Republican, but I'm not stupid enough to say, you know, if there's an awful choice or somebody with, you know, great, we'll say, judicial experience for, you know, state attorney general or something like that versus somebody who just looks like a political opportunist. They're going to, you know, vote the way that makes sense. But I also think that it's just a way to either, you know, look cool or seem like, you know, you're a free thinker and you don't, you know, follow party lines. But I think I agree with your guess, you know, largely to the extent that, yeah, it's not really true and it's,
so would you consider yourself an independent?
No. Very, very liberal. I think I'm 30 years old, and I've only been voting for about 12 years, and I think I voted for K.V. Von Holland in the state attorney general. That's about it.
Well, Sean, thanks for that call. It looks like, Alan, at least there's one person who's proving your theory, I guess.
Well, yeah, and you know, let me just throw another, you know, piece of evidence indicating pretty clearly, I think, that partisanship is alive and well and, in fact, getting stronger. And that's the decline in ticket splitting that, you know, we look at the evidence for, you know, kind of voting patterns over the last 30 years or so, and ticket splitting actually kind of peaked in the 1970s, whether we're looking at president and House or president and Senate or House and Senate or governor and, you know, Congress, whatever combination you choose, there was a lot more ticket splitting back then.
So basically,
more recently, very little ticket splitting.
So yeah, so basically, you're saying that people are saying they're independent. You're saying that they're being more savvy about who they pick, but they're actually not.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people are looking at the issues, but it just so happens that the large majority of voters tend to mainly agree with one party or the other on the issues, and therefore they vote for that party. It's not that they're blindly voting for the party, as your caller was just indicating. It's based on the differences in philosophy or differences in issues between the Democratic and Republican parties, which are very pronounced right now. And so I think that explains why we're seeing you know, very high levels of party loyalty in voting and more straight tickets rather than ticket splitting.
Well, Sean, thanks for that call. Let's go to Sam in Delafield. Sam, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. So what's your take on this?
I was much like the first caller. I'm very socially liberal. I don't care what other people do, whereas I am very fiscally conservative. So I tend to be very frustrated when I'm trying to vote because it tends to be a lot of picking the lesser of two evils.
Do you find yourself splitting your ticket when you vote? I mean, do you vote for some?
Yeah. I mean, I voted Democrat, I voted for Obama, and then I voted for Scott Walker in the recall election. So I split it based on what I think is the better choice of the two, given the two usually pretty poor choices.
That's an interesting observation, Sam. Ellen Abramowitz, I wonder if what Sam is saying is suggesting that maybe we need more political parties.
Well, certainly, you know, one of the factors here behind the the strength of the two parties and the partisanship of the electorate is the two-party system, and the fact that it pretty much comes down to, you know, you've got to choose between one or the other, or else you feel like you're wasting your vote. That's, you know, a result of the kind of electoral system that we have in this country. We have an electoral system in which it's very difficult for a third party or an independent candidate to win. And we haven't had very many successful independent or third party candidates. So you're kind of stuck with a choice between the two major parties. If we had a different electoral system like they have in some European countries with proportional representation, you know, I think that we might very well have a multi-party system in the U.S., and then, you know, everything would be very different. But that's, you know, not going to happen.
Well, let's continue going to the phones. Lots of people calling in and joining the conversation. If you want to do that, you can call 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Ellen from Milwaukee, welcome to Central Time.
I agree with this gentleman wholeheartedly. I believe that people are very partisan. I know why I am. And
you're more partisan now? Are you more partisan now than you used to be?
No.
You've always been partisan.
I've always been partisan. I was raised a Democrat and am a Democrat. It runs in the family. It's in the genes. And but if I were restricted from voting in something or another just because I am a Democrat, I would certainly lie and claim myself to be an independent.
So if you lived in New Hampshire, you'd say you were independent.
Yes. If I lived in New Hampshire, I would definitely be an independent Democrat.
and if you were in a room full of Republicans, would you say you were an independent?
No.
Oh, really?
No. Why would I say that?
Well, I was just asking to see, maybe you would be polite.
No. Why would I? Dishonesty isn't polite.
That's true. That's a good point.
If I can break in for, yeah. You know, I suspect that your caller would be unlikely to find herself in a room of Republicans. this is not specific to her, but that increasingly we tend to associate mainly with people who have the same views that we do, support the same party, and we tend to avoid interacting very much with people of the other party unless we're forced to. So, and so that's just another sign of this growing partisanship in our country, that it's affecting interpersonal relationships, particularly, of course, for people who care about politics. There's lots of people who don't care very much about politics, and for them, it's no big deal. But if you care about politics, then, you know, you probably wouldn't want to date someone from the opposing party. You probably wouldn't want your son or daughter to marry a person from the opposing party. You know, this is more true now than it used to be.
Hmm. Well, let's go to Alina in somewhere in Iowa. Melina, welcome.
Thank you.
And what's your take?
Well, I am an independent, and I very much disagree with that we're Republicans or Democrats in hiding, or, you know, that we have a true party. I would either be a conservative Democrat or a liberal Republican. But I refuse to pick a party because I think we waste ridiculous amounts of money on campaigns and all of those things when there's so many more pressing issues in this country.
But do you find yourself kind of voting for people despite that? I mean, voting for kind of the same kind of
I vote a mixed ticket all the time. I don't look at what their party is. I listen to what they stand for and what they say. I can honestly say I have never voted a straight ticket on anything. I look at who's running and make my decision based on what they have to say.
Well, Alina, thanks for that call. We appreciate it. Alan, it seems like we've heard a mixed bag of responses, but based on what you see from looking at data, she's kind of unusual in some ways.
It is, certainly. Thoughtful, truly independent voters who really, you know, look at all the issues and what the candidates stand for and split their ticket are rather unusual. And part of the reason for that is that, again, Democrats pretty much stand for this. All pretty much have the stand for the same thing these days. Republicans pretty much all stand for the same thing. So if you even kind of lean one way or the other, you're going to tend to vote pretty consistently for one party. We don't find ourselves in a situation where we have, you know, conservative Democrats and liberal Democrats running, or conservative Republicans and moderate to liberal Republicans as we used to. Pretty much the choice almost always boils down to a liberal Democrat versus a conservative Republican. And therefore, if that's the choice you're given for pretty much every office, you know, then you're going to vote pretty consistently. I mean, of course there are exceptions. There's a small number of truly independent voters who are going to split their ticket very frequently and will change, you know, change sides from one election to the next.
How can looking at people differently than this, since you're suggesting that the independent label is inaccurate, how can we improve the political process if we were just to admit that, okay, you're not really independent, you're leaning in this direction or another? How could we have better conversations about elections if we were to be more open to what you're suggesting is true?
You know, I don't know how we improve the conversation about elections, except that I think that it, from the standpoint of media who cover elections, I think that the most important thing there is for them to understand that these party you know, there are very real and important differences between what the parties stand for on a whole range of issues. And that, you know, most of the reason why we have conflict in Washington and in Madison and in a lot of places around the country is because the Democrats and Republicans these days really disagree about what should be done. And it's important for voters to understand that as well, and to make their choice based on what direction they want to see their national government or their state government go in. Because especially in the states these days, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to end it on that. It was a good conversation. Thanks so much for speaking to us today.
Very glad to be with you.
That was Alan Abramowitz, professor of political science at Emory University. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.